Last night, we were looking at some questions that we're asked as Christians and how we can respond to them. I'm just going to talk about one this morning. Is that okay? We're done early, and I'll have you out of here a couple minutes early, I promise, today, all right? In fact, I'm going to have you out of here. I know I owe you 6 minutes. My timekeeper has me on. Last night, we were talking a little bit about, we ended with how could a good God allow so much pain and suffering? And then I told you, my wife's stepdad wrestled with that very much in his life. How could God allow some of the horrible things in this world? Just had trouble coming to grips with that. And we talked a little bit about that and some of that whole thing, and I don't want to go back over it. But the sixth question that we saw, those sort of top 10 questions that intimidate Christians and intimidate us and often are the very reason why sometimes we're afraid to talk about Jesus to our friends or, you know, let them know about our faith and what we believe in, because, you know, we don't know what's going to come back, or maybe, you know, they ask us a question and it kind of shuts us up because we don't have an answer, is of course the issue of abortion. And that's question number 6. In fact, if you guys have something to hold on to or draw pictures on there. All right. It was question 6. And it's, why is abortion such a line in the sand for Christians? What's the big deal? Why do you guys get all hung up about this? I mean, you know, even when you start getting into political, you know, the political arena, oh, what's your stand on abortion? What's your stand on abortion? Right? We always hear what that is. Well, why is that such a big deal? Why can't you just leave me alone? Why can't we just let the woman make the choice over her own body, which is sort of the main argument. How can you tell me what to do with my own body? It all kind of boils down to that one argument. Well, what do we say about this? Now, you know that this is a conversation, and many of these are conversations that can become very, very heated, right? Both sides feel very strongly about what they believe. And you want to start trouble? Bring it up, right? But if somebody asks us, we've seen that often, like Jesus, rather than just spouting out answers and telling what we think, and I hope you have a thought, I hope you have a biblically informed opinion about these issues, which you ought to, and I encourage you to do that, very often it's in our best interest and it's in their best interest to ask them questions in return. Because as we saw last night, everybody's got to have a reason for what they believe. We all have to be able to defend our position, or at least we should be. And if not, why not? What does that say about your position? But I want to tell you a little story. True story. Absolutely true story. In fact, the fellow's name was Arnie Sky. Arnie Sky was driving his car down the road one day. It was not exactly an interstate, but it was a busy highway. You probably have them near your house. I could give you route numbers by our house, Route 36, Route 35, take you down to the beach and all different places. You have them. He's driving down the road, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the road, he sees a box, sort of a medium, you know, not a little tiny box, about a, you know, like this, about knee-high box. It's sitting right in the middle of the road. And as he's approaching it, he realizes that he's got several options about what to do about this box. Of course, the most logical reaction would be what? Go around. We do that all the time, right? Something's in the road, you go around it. Whether it's a good old pothole in New York City, whatever. Piece of shredded truck tire on the interstate, go around it. Another thought went through his mind. Maybe some of you would think like this, man, you know what would be kind of fun? Just blast the sucker. Just hit the gas and ba-boom, or run it over, or whatever. Let's see what leaves in the wake, in the back. I'll check it out in my rear view mirror. But then you know what he did? He slowed down. He pulled over. He got out. Of course, making sure it was clear, you know. I want to go playing in traffic. This is not a lesson about playing in traffic. Don't play in traffic, okay? Look both ways before you cross the street, right? He started to walk toward the box. And do you know what happened? As he lifted the lid on the box, you know how boxes kind of do that little folding thing? Out popped the head of a small boy. There was a kid who lived right over there who was playing in the box, and for the best he could figure, he had been rolling around in it, and he rolled himself right out into the street. Arnie picked that box up and that kid and got them out of the street as quick as possible. Over the years, Arnie told that story over and over again, and he added this punchline: you never know what's going to be in the box. Now you might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Anybody making any connections? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. And here's a great question to ask. That's a great story to tell, by the way. You'd ask your friend, that person, if you were Arnie and you saw that box and you weren't 100% sure what was in that box, what would you do? Would you simply go around it and leave it for somebody else? Would you blast it? Or would you give that box and its contents the benefit of the doubt? You think Arnie was glad he gave that box the benefit of the doubt? Do you understand what I mean by that? He said, maybe I should take care of this. Well, what's the big argument with abortion? Well, of course, a woman's right to choose is always at the root. But then as you really begin to discuss it, where does it go? It goes to the fetus. Right? They like that term, the fetus, because it sounds sort of scientific, you know? What about that? What do people start arguing? When does it become a person? Right? Anybody? Yes? Anybody familiar with this whole argument, or is it passé? When does it become a person? When does it really become a viable living thing? When does it deserve to be treated like a person? Who's got the answer to that question? Now, I know what we believe as Christians. What do we believe? Well, come on, who can tell me? I hope you know this. At conception. Read the scriptures. Read what God says. From that moment, God, there are people, Jeremiah and others, God said, I knew you even right from when you were conceived. God refers to them as living things, as individuals. Study the development of a little baby. You might be shocked at how fast that baby develops. Even before a woman starts to show that she's pregnant, that baby is basically formed. It's not finished developing, but it's formed. Now, this is not a science thing. We're not talking about that today. You can do that research on your own. But what happens is people argue, when does this thing deserve to stay alive? When does it become a viable living thing? And you know what? Everybody argues differently. Every scientist, they all argue, when the heart begins to beat, when the brain is fully formed, when this, does anybody see what's going on here? There's no one answer out there. We know what we believe, we know what the Bible tells you, but out in the world, there's all kind of arguments as to when this becomes viable, when it should not be terminated. Think about Arnie's box. Did he know what was in there? Did he know what was in there? No. So what did he do? He gave the box the benefit of the doubt. What do you think about that, what that dear lady carries in her womb? Now, we're just talking about this logically. Like God said, we're just reasoning together here a little bit. If you don't know, if you're not sure, what might be a prudent decision? To give it the benefit of the doubt. You see, the argument about a woman's body, again, you might have a different opinion on this, but I think the Bible is pretty clear. It's not a choice about the woman's body as much as it is about the fact that she has been entrusted. Now, I know there's all kinds of situations. I understand that. I understand the whole argument. But believe it or not, those arguments are such a small percentage of the real cases that they almost, that's a whole nother thing, but it's so small and it becomes the whole argument. But rather, it's that child that has been entrusted into her care that has, now listen, what she carries in her has its own unique genetic makeup. It has its own independent brain waves. It has its own heartbeat. It even has its own blood type that is very often different from the mother's blood type. It is so different. I mean, we could have a whole day just talking about the science of this, but here's what I want to bring it down to. At one point, Jesus was talking to his followers. He was talking to people, and he said, "As much as you have done it unto the least of these." You know, isn't that an interesting choice of words that Jesus used? The least of these. Boy, if somebody famous showed up today, somebody you liked, maybe, I don't know, maybe a athlete, politician, music figure, whatever, that you really kind of admired, boy, you would bend over backwards. If they were waitresses, if they were sitting in that dining room up in the palace, they'd get the best treatment, wouldn't they? Poor Brother John, he'd be like, can I get a cup of coffee, anybody? But that person, right? They'd get the top shelf treatment. You guys do great. You know, I'm just having fun with you. But you know, you'd be giving them top shelf. We do that. There's a tendency in us to want to do that. Want to impress them, want to make them happy, want them to notice us. But Jesus said, what about the least? What about the least? What about those who are in no position to repay you? Perhaps even no position even to notice what you are doing. Do you think, I'm just going to ask you this question to ponder. Do you think Jesus might have had in mind those who are not even born yet? Do you think? What do you think? What a great question to ask somebody, huh? What do you think? What is our goal? Our goal is not just to win an argument, right? It's not just to win an argument. It's to win a person. It's to win them. It's to get them to think. It's to get them to open up and to share with us, and we share with them. And then, of course, where are we taking them? Not to us, not to a good philosophy. We're taking them to Jesus. We're taking them to Jesus. May God help us. You know, guys, we're faced with so many big questions, so many tough, and this is tough. This is a tough situation. I know, people get hot about this, and there are some real legitimate concerns with this. There are legitimate concerns, and I understand. However, we want to bring people to Jesus. We're not going to solve all the world's problems. Right? Most of us are old enough to realize that. We're not going to solve everybody's problems. But we're going to take them to Jesus. We're going to take them to Jesus. And then we'll see what Jesus will do. I'll never forget one time I was talking to somebody. I was with a little group, and we were talking about an issue that nobody knew what to do. I mean, it was just like, you know, you ever have one of those? You just do one of these. Here's my best answer to that. And then somebody got a bright idea. Let's talk to Jesus about it and see what he'll do. Wasn't that a good idea? Let's talk to Jesus and see what he will do. Let's stay in constant communion with him. Let's bring people to Jesus, and let's see what he will do with their lives. Let's just pray. We're going to pray in closing. I told you, I'm going to get you out a little early this morning. Thank you for your good attention. We had a lot I would like to wanted to cover. Dear Jesus, you know our lives. You know our friends. You know our families. You know our work comrades. You know the situations with which we are faced so regularly. Lord, we confess that so often we don't have the answers. But we thank you that there are answers. There are answers in your word. There are answers that are just often so clear that they make sense. We know many of the questions that were asked, sometimes folks haven't truly thought them through, or maybe they just have their own opinion about things, or making assumptions that just have no merit. But I pray, Lord, that you will help us, that as we spend time with you, I go back to that verse that we began with at the beginning of our time together in Acts, where the people knew, they knew that the disciples had been with Jesus. I pray that you will help us, having spent time with you, that as we go out into this world, we will be able to lead people to you. And whether that's through some insightful questions, or whether it's through the testimony of our lives, the testimony of our lips, however you choose to do by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we are willing. We want to be a blessing. We want to lead people to you. You want us to lead people to you. You have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Help us, Lord. Prepare us. Equip us. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Bless us throughout this day as we go about our duties. I pray that your Spirit will rest upon each head. May we walk in your presence today, the presence of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day today. Don't forget staff. 4:15 prayer meeting later on. We'll be here. We'll keep it lively. We're going to play tag. I'll let you think about that.